Welcome back to my podcast, Love and Courageous. I'm your host, Demetrius, and today I'll be speaking about Unnoticed, the Women of Color Suffragists, Part 2. In this Part 2, I'll be speaking on the Asian and Latina women. The first Asian woman I want to speak on is Patsy Meek. She was from Hawaii, and she became the first woman of Asian Pacific Islander descent and the first woman of color in the U.S. House of Representatives. She served until 1977 and was reelected in 1990. Mary Tape is another Asian woman. She was born in China, Shanghai, and came to the U.S., San Francisco, California, in 1868. She is known for trying to desegregate California's public schools in the 1880s. But however, the Supreme Court did not say that segregated schools was unconstitutional until 1954, when the Brown versus Board of Education was established.
Another Asian woman is Mabel Ping Hua Lee. She was born in 1896 in China, Guangzhou, and she came to the U.S. at 4 years old and became a big part of the suffragette movement, where she assists the Chinese American community to support women's right to vote. In spite of the Chinese Exclusion Act, which banned any voting rights, I'm going to go into more depth about the Chinese Exclusion Act that was passed in 1882. This law was passed by the President Chester A. Arthur on May the 6th. And what this law did was ban Chinese immigrants from entering the U.S., mainly California. And it suspended Chinese immigration for 10 years. This was the first law that was made that restricted immigration into the U.S. So it all started when the Opium War between the Great Britain and China took place from 1839 to 1842. Then a second war happened between 1856 and 1860. And this war was between China, who fought Great Britain, and France. Now, China lost both wars, but due to the war, this caused a lot of floods and droughts to a lot of people who were farm workers. China was in a lot of debt, so a lot of people decided to leave to find work, and that's when the agents discovered that there was gold in Sacramento Valley of California in 1848. In 1852, China was having a lot of crop failure, so more than 20,000 Chinese immigrants came to San Francisco looking for work. Now, of course, white people decided to get violent with the Chinese people because they felt like the Chinese people were taking their work and also taking their money. So the Chinese Exclusion Act was put in place to keep everything white, basically, in America. However, in May of 1852, the state California imposed a foreign miners license tax of $3 a month. And this was to target Chinese miners. And this also caused a lot of violence and crime. And the Chinese people were really upset about it. But there was nothing that the Chinese people could do because in 1854, California Supreme Court had a case called People versus Hall. And in this case, it was saying that Black people, Native Americans, and Chinese people were not allowed to testify in court. So it was impossible for the Chinese immigrants to even seek justice. And by 1870, the Chinese miners paid $5 million to the state of California through the foreign miners license tax. And even though they paid all this money, this did not stop the white people from still discriminating against the Chinese people. And there was also another law that was passed in 1892 on May the 5th. The Geary Act that was proposed by Congressman Thomas J. Geary. And what the Geary Act did was it just extended the Chinese Exclusion Act. So banning Chinese immigrants from coming to America, this law added another 10 years of banning Chinese immigrants into America. But also, this law stated that Chinese people had to have documentation on them. And that documentation had to show certification of residence from the Internal Revenue Service. Any Chinese immigrant that did not have this documentation on them were sentenced to hard labor or deported and bailed. But they were only bailed if they were vouched for by a white witness. So the government in China protested about these discriminatory laws, but anti-immigrant was on the rise in America, and there was really nothing they could do about it. Now, however, Chinese immigrants were officially able to testify in court the year of 1882 after the trial of laborer Yi Shun. Yi Shun was a Chinese man who was accused of killing Jim Lee, another Chinese man. And Yi Shun was only 20 years old. Now, however, the owner of the laundromat, whose name was Joe Chinaman, had to testify. And when the trial started, the judge asked him about his religion, asked if he was a Christian or not, and asked if he understood the court's oath. Now, Yi Shun claimed that he was unarmed and said that the murder was due to a grievance between Chinese gangs. And there's a testimony of several witnesses, but only one of them pointed at Yi Shun and said he was the one that murdered the guy. So they found Yi Shun guilty of second degree murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison. And Yi Shun's lawyer believed that the owner of the laundromat testimony was invalid, and Yi Shun later killed himself in prison. So due to Joe Chinaman testifying in court, it opened doors for other Chinese people to be able to testify. But when Chinese people would testify, their religion was tested in court. Now, there were some lawyers that was really upset about this because they felt like since these Chinese people's religion was questioned and also about their beliefs, they felt like the results of case when it involved Chinese people, the results were not truthful. Now, the Supreme Court sustained the Geary Act and Fong Yu Ting versus United States in 1893. And in 1902, Chinese immigration was permanently illegal in the U.S. And after this, the Chinese population in America declined. And due to the Chinese Exclusion Act, this also hurted other groups as well, such as the East Indians, Middle Easterners, and Hindu, and the Japanese, with the passage of the Immigration Act of 1924. The Immigration Act of 1924, what it did was saying that people from Asia could not migrate to America, but they allowed a certain number of people from Eastern or Southern Europe to come to America. Now, however, the Chinese immigrants and their American-born families who were already in America were still ineligible for their citizenship until 1943 with the passage of the Madison Act. The Madison Act is a law that was proposed by U.S. Representative Warren G. Madison, and in this law, it repealed the Chinese Exclusion Act. The bill was signed on December the 17th in 1943. The last Asian woman was Tai Young Schultz. She was born In 1887, August the 24th, in San Francisco, Chinatown. And during this time, people were very prejudiced against Chinese immigrants and Chinese Americans. In 1910, Tai Young Schultz became the first Chinese American woman to work for the federal government. She was hired as an interpreter at the newly opened Angel Island immigration station that was designed to enforce the Chinese Exclusion Act. In 1912, she became the first Chinese American woman to cast her ballot in the U.S. election, 1 year after women won the rights to vote in California. Now I'm going to get into the Latin women suffragists. So one of them is Dolores Huerta. She was born in 1930, and she is one of the most influential labor rights organizers in America history. She is known for working with Cesar Chavez to fight for farm workers' rights and being instrumental in the enactment of the Agricultural Labor Relations Act of 1975. Another one is Maria de Guadalupe Evangelina Lopez de Luder. She was born in 1975. She was bilingual. She spoke Spanish and English. She was born in California, San Gabriel, and taught English as a second language at Los Angeles High School. By 1911, she was involved in the suffrage movement in California. She traveled around the state speaking in English and Spanish about women's voting rights, and she organized rallies. Jovita Hidar is another Mexican suffragist. She was born in 1885. She was an activist and a journalist. She wrote articles speaking about racism and supporting the revolution in Mexico. In 1911, her and her family organized the first Mexican Congress to unify Mexicans across the border to fight injustice. She was known for saying the phrase, "When you educate a woman, you educate a family."
The last Latina woman I will speak on is Maria Teresa Kumar, who was born in 1974. She's the woman that founded the national nonprofit called Voto Latino. And this organization is a civic engagement organization that focuses on educating and empowering the new generation of Latin voters and also creating a more inclusive democracy. Now, under Maria Teresa Kumar leadership, the Voto Latino organization registered over 250,000 voters, and their goal was to hit a 1 million mark by the 2020 general election. In 2010, the organization Voto Latino partnered with the U.S. Census Bureau to encourage higher rates of participation in the census to ensure sufficient government funds would be put towards healthcare, education, and structure in the Latin community. So I will be adding a link for the Voto Latino organization website just in case anybody read on it and educate themselves on the accomplishments that they have made. Now that is all for today, but I will get into the Black History Month fact. The Black History fact for today is Queen Candace, Empress of Ethiopia. Queen Candace became one of the most world famous military tacticians, which means a person who uses a carefully planned strategy to achieve a specific end. And she was a field commander. Now, rumor has it, she brought Roman Emperor Alexander the Great to his knees when he attempted to conquer Queen Candace's land in 332 BC. She arranged her armies to meet him and was present on an elephant when he approached. Once Alexander the Great determined the strength of Queen Candace's army, he decided to withdraw from Nubia and head to Egypt. That is all for today. Thank you everyone for listening to my podcast, and I hope you all have a lovely day.